This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, feline friends. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So excited today because we have a guest, as we say in the U.S., from across the pond, and she is a crazy cat lady that wrote a fascinating book. I am so excited for you to meet her, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Pet Greens is proud to support Catitude on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
I'm very careful about the products that I choose because I have built a reputation over 4 decades where cat parents trust me and they know that when I recommend a brand or talk about a particular product, they know it came from my heart and I really believe it. I've done my research with Pet Greens. I love the products. I love the quality. And one of the things that I feel just stands out is the education that Pet Greens provides. They guide you every step of the way. It's a relationship. I know how much they love cats and how much they love cat welfare and cat health, and that's their motivation.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Amelia Hendry. She is the author of 10 Cats and One Crazy Cat Lady. Welcome, Amelia.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. You know, I have to ask this, and we're not a political show, but we're recording this. It's actually the day before National Cat Day, which we'll talk about a little bit more. So we're recording this August 7th. And in the U.S., there's been these political jabs about crazy cat ladies. So you're in another country, and we're not going to get into anything too political, but what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, and every cat person is crazy. We all are. We are absolutely crazy because you go crazy for the cat. And
exactly.
Most people, if you have one or two, then I think you are restricting yourself. I think most of us crazy cat ladies, we're like 3, we're like 4. We can branch out. Anytime somebody needs rescuing, I think most of the crazy cat ladies will rescue and keep rescuing until we can't anymore.
Right. And the political job was ridiculous. But again, we'll keep it off of politics because I don't want anybody to
get offended.
Yes, exactly. We don't want to offend anyone. All right. Let's talk about your book. When did you start to think of yourself as a crazy cat lady? And again, as you said, crazy cat lady in the best possible way.
Yeah. And I think I was born a crazy cat lady. I think I can remember when I was very small, my little chubby arms wrapped around a cat, desperate for it to love me. And I am that weird person who will be walking along the street and there'll be a cat walking along the path. And I can't just walk past it. I have to stroke it. I have to make friends with it. And, you know, my little heart needs that in its life. So, and because I know a lot about cats and I've been around a lot of cats, you know, like, as you know, I had 10 cats all at one time. And I just wanted other cat people to share the same experiences that I have. So I wrote them all down and thought, okay, cat community, what I want to show you my life with cats. I want to teach you things about cats and everything cat related. I just want you to have it in one little book, which is mine.
You kind of already answered my other question, which is what inspired you to write the book. But I still want to ask that, because was there, other than what you said before about the crazy cat lady, to answer that question, was there anything else that inspired you to write the book? And you've already were an author of two other books, not the same subject matter. But was there anything else that compelled you to tell your story?
I didn't want my cats to be forgotten, because every single cat has a different personality. They all have a different way of being and living, and some are more independent, some are more needy. And everybody has that one cat that they connected with on a completely different level. And most of the time you hear them say, oh, well, it was more person than it was cat. And when I meet cat people, they always tell me the stories of, we used to have a cat called so-and-so, and he used to do this, or she used to do that. And you see the love in their eyes, you know, that ever since that cat's gone, whether it be 5 years, 10 years, that love in their eyes is still there. And, I'm probably the same. I didn't want my cats to be forgotten. And because I had so many, I wanted them to be remembered. And it doesn't matter how many years fall from now, you know, whenever you read it, the subject will still be the same. It won't change in the sense of be dated or anything.
So this is cats over a long time. So, you know, you have different cats now. So cats, unfortunately, they only live so long. So many have passed. So I'm sorry for your loss. And, you know, anytime a fur babe passes, it's a little hole in your heart. It's just hard. But absolutely. I have to ask, were there any favorites out of the original 10, or if you think of all the 10 and there's one that, oh, my mind just goes to that cat because the cat was so unusual or quirky or affectionate, or it's hard. It's like choosing your favorite child.
Am I allowed to say that in the cat community? Will I not be in serious trouble for picking a favorite?
Oh, and it's hard.
My favorite one would have had to have been Shakira. Only because, you know, as I said, that people have said to me, she was the one that was more human in the sense of that she didn't want to be out doing cat stuff. If I was at home with my daughter and my daughter was in the tent, Shakira wanted to be in the tent. If my daughter was on the trampoline, she'd be on the trampoline. Bouncy castle, same again. It was more of a home cat. And yeah, and I think if I had to pick one, I would have picked that one.
Okay. Well, thanks for selecting your favorite fur babe. Okay. So, obviously, well, not maybe not obvious, because you could be any place, but you're in the UK, we're in the US, we have, you know, thanks to internet, global reach. And I've had a few guests on the show from the UK. And one of the things that, and probably because it's so different in the US, that always strikes me as unusual, only because it's so different here in the US, is that in the UK, it's very common for cats to be indoor, outdoor. It just is. Maybe not in the cities, but maybe everybody I've had on the show has lived in the country. But what? In the US, it's the opposite. Cats are almost exclusively indoors for the most part. We have catios. I live in a warm place, so it's my patio, which is the catio. But some people build separate little catios for their cats. And so the cats do go outside, but they're not going through. But to me, it's, oh my gosh, how can you bring your cat outdoors? And for you, it's probably, how can you not? So maybe you can explain that.
Absolutely. Is it just pedigrees, or is it all cats in general that are just indoor?
Oh, no, all. Like, all of mine are rescues.
All indoor.
All indoors. I did have 5 at one time, and 2 were like, you know, feral community. One would have been okay indoors, but they were a couple. So they had, you know, a house outside, they had a water, they had the whole setup, but I couldn't bring them indoors because they were community. So other than community cats, anybody that has cats, almost all the time, they keep their cats indoors. In my neighborhood, there's one cat that roams around. I think there's 2 that roam around that are, have people, they have homes. One I thought was abandoned because when we fed them, and the other one that I saw him in a window, so I thought, oh, not. But everybody else with cats, they're indoors, so it's almost exclusively indoors. And it's not just, and my area gets quite warm, but in other areas of the country, I've talked to, you know, I've had a lot of guests from Los Angeles, just all over Midwest, North, all over the place, and all year long the cats are indoors.
As we're in the UK, gosh, the only people that I know with that are indoor are pedigree cats that are full breed, like your Burmese, your Siamese, and only because they think that they shouldn't be outdoors. But a lot of everybody else that has, you know, regular moggies and other cats like that, they're outdoor. And I don't know why. Like, my cats are outdoor because when I got them, either when I rescued or when I had them as kittens, I do this thing where, you know, I keep them in for 3 months so they can get used to the smell in my house, so they, you know, understand who we are, so they have the whole transition period where they settle in really well. And then 9 times out of 10, they scratch at the patio door to want to go out. And so, you know, we open the door and they do it. But I have certain ones that will wander. I've got fields behind me. I live in the country. So I live in the countryside. So I've got fields all around me. So some of them, they'll only go to the edge of the field and sniff about. And then other ones, they just stay in the garden. So maybe I'm lucky with the ones that I've had, that they don't wander very far.
Maybe. I think in the U.S., we're more concerned about, and I live in a, it's not city, but it's not the country at all. And I think there's a small port, most, you know, most of the U.S., we're in rural areas, it's urban, it's not too many in the U.S. or in the country of the population, you know. So I think for those that maybe are living on farms and such, their cats are probably outdoor, indoor, outdoor, and they're probably, you know, mousers. But like in my area, I wouldn't want my cats outdoors. We have, it's rare to spot an alligator in the waters, but there is that. There's raccoons, there's possums.
That's probably why you're indoor, because we don't have that. We don't have alligators, we don't have possums, we don't have raccoons.
Maybe that's it. I mean, alligators are rare. It's Florida. So, you know, there is the small chance, but that is so rare. But I've seen outside my window with my two that were Sammy and Jethro that have since gone, but they've passed on. But their Jethro disappeared. Sammy passed away. We never saw Jethro again. So I don't know what happened. But I looked outside my window, my window in the house, and seen Sammy and Jethro eating, a raccoon eating out of their bowl, and then a possum all together having dinner, you know.
So, my goodness.
But if you don't have any like creatures out there,
we have foxes, but I've seen the foxes around the cat, not my own cat, other cats, and they haven't really been bothered. Nobody's really bothered anybody.
Maybe that's it, because we have coyotes too. I forgot about that, and sometimes you see them even in urban areas and parking lots.
Yeah, that's probably why then, because it's probably, you know, if we had those, well, not dangers, but, you know, uncertainties, then, you know, we'd probably keep them in as well, I think.
That must be it. We must have more crazy wildlife here in the U.S. And of course, it changes where you're located. Interesting. Okay, we're going to take a short break and we will be right back. Michelle Fern here, and you know saving cats is near and dear to my heart. Did you know that there is an estimated 70 to 100 million free-roaming cats in the United States? And without spay-neuter, that number will keep growing. Not only does spay-neuter mainly reduce the community cat population, but it also keeps cats healthier. Scooter, the neutered cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Visit his website, givethem10.org, to help pioneer a better world for cats. That's givethem10, spelled out, TEN.org. Ready for the biggest cat celebration in the world? Come to the CFA International Cat Show and Expo in Cleveland, Ohio on October 12th and 13th. The Expo is the world's grandest cat celebration, seamlessly blending pedigree cat exhibitions with feline welfare and rescue initiatives. It captivates over 10,000 feline enthusiasts each year, celebrating all cats, whether rescue or pedigreed, in a shared spirit of love and unity. Dive into cat-themed activations and enlightening educational sessions. Marvel at 1,000 non-pedigree and pedigreed cats, adoptable felines, and explore over 100 cat-themed vendors. It's an event dedicated to honoring our beloved felines and their admirers. And guess what feline influencers are coming to meet and greet? YouTube cat video sensation Aaron's Animals, as well as Nathan the Cat Lady, Lambo Leisha, Chupi, and many, many more. gather your cat crew and do whatever it takes to head to the CFA Cat Expo. It's a whisker-wiggling, tail-twirling extravaganza you won't want to miss. Get your tickets at cfacatexpo.com. That's CFACATEXPO.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Amelia Hendry. She is the author of 10 Cats and One Crazy Cat Lady. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit more about your book. What are some of the messages you want to convey to readers? And some of your readers might be crazy cat people, ladies or lads, and some might be just, thinking about getting a cat.
It wasn't really a message as such. It was sort of an educational journey I was going for, because I went to Amsterdam and went on a floating boat to meet cats. And there was a lady there who, this boat had been passed on to her. She'd been one of the volunteers, and she has a rehoming center on a boat. And I went and met her. I went to a cat cafe in London. I went to Rome to see Cat. And all of these things that, people might not necessarily know about, that they would want to go to, or they would want to go to if they read about it, cat shows and cat festivals. I hadn't really known a lot about them. I wanted to go and see for myself, because with the cats that I had, some of my cats would not be tolerant enough to go to a cat show. You get the cats that are a bit scared, or you get the cats that not show pieces at all. They act in sort of like a gruff way, and they like to rough and tumble. And I wanted to see for myself. And I went, and it was absolutely extraordinary. The people and the cats love it. They love to be brushed. They love to show off. And, I thought this readers would love to read about this and just, sort of get a sense of what happens there. The fact that I had a polydactyl cat as well, that's something that not many people know about. It's a cat with extra toes. Ernest Hemingway bred them. Also from, I think it's Florida, Ernest Hemingway's house in your neck of the woods.
Right, in the Keys.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there. And he was the one that first created the polydactyls. And lots of people don't know about them. And so I wanted to bring attention to them. And then obviously the werewolf cat, which is a brand new breed, again, found in your country for the first time. And they are absolutely mesmerizing, the werewolf cat.
Let's talk about that breed for a second. It's called a Lykoi, L-Y-K-O-I, and they look like little werewolves.
They do, yeah. They've got a mask on their face where their fur's receding. Their fur is very coarse and wiry looking. But when you stroke it, it feels like kitten soft. So it gives you this misconception of what it actually looks and then feels like. They've got little balding feet. Their tail is completely bald. They are never seen anything like it. And to see one, to see two of them up close and personal was astonishing, because I walked into the room and you had this sense of uncertainty. Like if you walked in the room with a lion, that creature is completely top of the food chain, and that is the feeling that I got with the Lykoi. It was very majestic. It made me feel that I was with royalty.
Wow.
But the first time I met it was at a cat show, and it literally had the zipper open of its cat carrier, and it just laid there with its arms stretched out waiting for me to stroke it. And I stroked it, and there was lots and lots of people around, and making a lot of noise, wanting to fuss it, and it just sat there like it was a celebrity. It had no bother whatsoever, and I thought that was absolutely phenomenal.
I would like to go to a cat show just to see all the different breeds. Let's see, what do I have now? I have Dennis's part Maine Coon from What We Think. Charlotte and Molly are mixed. Molly's a tuxedo, but that's not really breed. All of mine have been, rescues that found me, which happens a lot. Okay, let's talk about cat sitting, because you also changed careers while you were writing your book and became a cat sitter. Now, not everybody out there is looking to be a cat sitter, but a lot of people are interested in, oh, I have to hire a cat sitter. So can you give us a few tips on it for those looking for a cat sitter? What should they look for? And you've had some adventures, but we'll save. We're not going to have time to go into all of them, but we'll definitely, you should read the book because there's a lot of information we're not covering for everyone listening. But what are some tips for those that, you know, are going out of town and need a cat sitter?
Okay. So look for somebody that will look after your cats how you would look after your cats. Because when I go into my clients' homes, I say that I am a mirror image of them. So when their cat needs, whatever time their cat needs to be fed, how they do things, I do it exactly the same as they do. Because I want the cats to feel that nothing's changed. All it is a different person. Their layout and how they do things is still exactly the same. I make sure that I have a DBS check, which shows that I don't have any criminal background. I have insurance. So if anything happens while I'm in their home, then I'm insured for it. And just, you know, importantly, mainly your feeling. The person, if their cat's sitting for you, they have to have a love for cats and they have got to know cats. Because I have a lot of clients say to me, oh, do you do dogs? And I'm like, well, no, I don't do dogs because I don't understand dogs. I can have six different types of personalities of dogs. And I don't really know. I know that if a dog's snarling, obviously it's going to bite probably, or if it's got its ears back, it's not happy. But as a rule, I don't know it. As where with a cat, I can have a sense of whether it's friendly, not friendly, unsure, you know, within a couple of seconds of meeting it, I literally am good in that way. I also can tell if cats are unwell. So if they've got the third eyelid, I can do a dehydration test, which is, you know, gently lifting the scruff to see if they're dehydrated. So, you know, I've learned a lot of things along the way. And so, you know, you do genuinely want to have somebody who knows quite a bit about cats. Otherwise, it's not easy for you to leave your pet with somebody who's not really sure what can happen with animals.
That's great advice. And of course, references.
Yeah, references. I have a multitude of references.
Right. And that's something people should look for too. Well, we have some time. Any quick tips on those that are looking to cat sit?
Do your homework. Do your homework on cats. There's a brilliant book called The Cat Encyclopedia. It tells you all different cat breeds. It tells you about cat first aid, all different bits and pieces in there that will get you started. And mainly, when you look after cats, don't get in a cat's face. Let a cat come to you. Let a cat show you what it likes rather than you going all gunners blazing towards it.
Yeah, you'll regret it because you'll be scratched.
Yeah. You know, you have to build a rapport with the cat. You can't have a cat scared of you, because if you need to deal with it in an emergency, then you can't help anyone in that situation.
Okay, thank you for that great information. Here's something, another question, and I've gotten this asked a lot over the years. What do you suggest for those that are thinking about becoming, you know, a cat lady or cat guy? They love cats. They have not adopted a cat before.
Do it. Absolutely. And cats always need homes. A lot of people struggle because when you first get a cat, you expect it to know your rules, know your life, know everything about it. It takes time. When you first get a cat, you have to slowly introduce. A lot of the time, they don't like fast movements. You know, they like to find a safe space. Like, we rehomed one just recently, Chloe, and I made her a little bed in the bedroom, and it was hidden in a little corner, and she found it and got in it. And for ages, I think, a month and a half, she was in that little bed in the corner, and if she ever got scared, she would run to that bed. And now she comes out and she lays on a different bed, and she lays in the spare room. So, you know, they all take time to adapt to opening up, and some take longer than others. So it just depends on what you get, and if you keep it as calm as possible and let the cat lead, then you should have no problem.
I think you hit it on the head, because prior to, Dennis was my first cat, and he's part Maine Coon, so they call Maine Coons the dog of cats. I had had dogs before, so you have to be patient, which is not my strong suit. So, and with Dennis being a dog like cat, I didn't have to be as patient. So I really learned about cats through Molly, because she was a kitten. But as she grew up, I've learned, you know, this is who she is. At first I thought, oh, she likes my spouse. She doesn't care for me. But now she'll come if I call her. I had to learn her, and I had to learn her, you know, habits. When she goes to put up her paw at a claw, that's her saying, hey, I need my time. It doesn't mean I don't like you, but this is how they defend themselves, because they're the creatures they are. So you have to really be patient and understand who they are, what they want. And as you said in your book, some cats, Molly, you cannot pick up, not a lap cat. Maybe when she gets older, she's 7, almost 8. So maybe at some point in her old age, she'll be more willing, but she doesn't like it. Dennis, you could brush, you could tickle his stomach, you could do anything. I could cut his nails. Molly, forget about it. I would be clawed up. So they all have their little, you know, idiosyncrasies, and you have to just be patient.
And a lot of it is vision as well, because they can't talk.
Exactly.
You know, dogs bark, dogs yelp, you know, dogs can be very vocal, as where cats, you know, 1 minute they're, you know, putting their paw up saying, no, you know, I've had enough. If you don't listen, then chances are you'll get scratched. But the main point is that when you've got a cat's trust, then that's it. You're friends for life, I think.
Very true. Very true. Definitely patience. Some cats are just going to be quirky and misunderstood, and that's how they are. That's Charlotte. That's my Charlotte cat. She was feral and adopted at 4 or 5 months. I don't know what happened before that, but she's just frightened and has issues. And with all the learning I've had from Catitude and other research I've done, that's just how she is. I don't think anything will ever change.
Ooh.
Oh, but this is how she is. Okay, so you also are donating part of the proceeds of your book. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so when I went to De Bos en Boot, the floating cat sanctuary in Amsterdam, I met Judith, the lady who now currently runs it. And she explained that there was a lady before her that did it. And the lady before her had cats at her home, and people would always come and bring these cats that needed rehoming to the lady. And the lady ended up having lots and lots of cats in her home and then couldn't have them because obviously it was starting to get too many. So she sold her house, bought a boat, put them all on the boat, and then would rehome them. So then, unfortunately, she passed away, and Judith was one of the volunteers at the time and took over. So everything is done by donations. So the cat's vet bills are done, everything. If the boat needs fixing, everything is by donations. And I thought she was really lovely, because she says that she rehomes cats, kittens, and for any reason, if they go to the new owner and they don't fit well, or, you know, it's not a good fit, and they, you know, the cat has issues where, you know, it will keep peeing in a certain place because it's uncomfortable, or they can't handle it because of XYZ, then Judith says, don't try and rehome it again, bring it back to me. And so she says that the cats will always have a home at De Bos en Boot. And I thought that was really lovely. You know, you've gone to the efforts to rehome it, but you then want it back to then find it the correct home, which I thought was lovely. And a part of me thinks that if Judith hadn't have done the boat, then I would be the boat lady. I would have gone out and bought a boat and put all the cats on it, and I would just be living my best life.
Maybe you could do that with a barn or something.
You see, do you want in on that with me? Should we do it?
I know, right?
And I thought, you know what, because of the book, every time somebody buys a book, we can give a percentage of it to De Bos en Boot to help Judith keep doing what she's doing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because I thought it would be fantastic.
I hope everybody enjoyed this show. And as coincident, I don't know, but we're recording this August 7th, and August 8th is International Cat Day. And Amelia, before you tell us where to buy the book, you have some personal ties to this day.
I do. So tomorrow, 8th of August, International Cat Day, is my daughter Piper's 11th birthday. And I feel that because she was born on International Cat Day, it's a sign and she must be part cat.
Very true.
So the book is available to buy on Amazon, and it's available as paperback or Kindle.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on Cattitude, and I wish you amazing success. Thanks for all you do for the cats.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I hope everybody enjoyed this show. I had a great time talking to Amelia. Please check out her book, 10 Cats and One Crazy Cat Lady by Amelia Hendry. I want to thank everybody that's listening to Cattitude. Thank you so much. I appreciate your listenership and your loyalty. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to my cat crew, which is now Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. And in Cat Heaven, of course, we have Sammy and Jethro. So thank you, cats, for teaching me all about cats and patience. So thank you. And of course, a huge thank you to my producer, Mark Winter, for working his magic and making this show sound amazing. Remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.